One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. This is a start to a very interesting series highlighting Kim Power. And today I'm joined by Kyle, as you can see here, but also Imani McCreary, Jed Ruth, and Marcus Savant, who come from the sales, marketing, and product management and operations and business development teams at Kim Power, respectively. So we have a great array of folks who can help really introduce us to Kim Power if we haven't heard about them, or tell us even more about the nitty-gritty details as we get into those questions. So I've met Jed. Great to see you back here. But welcome, Marcus and Imani, to the podcast for the first time. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
Welcome, welcome. And you might be wondering, audience, why Kim Power? And so Kyle is the perfect person to ask, because it's not the first time that we have highlighted Kim Power or worked with Kim Power. So Kyle, can you tell me a bit about what's so important about our partnership with Kim Power, what you like to see from this company, and just our general background with them maybe?
Yeah, well, I think our audience is pretty familiar. I love driving electric. I love charging. Charging is really one of the most fun things you can do when driving electric, I think. But it can also be one of the most frustrating things you do when driving electric if it doesn't go to plan. And I've spent countless miles driving all around Europe and in the Nordic countries, where I have used regularly Kim Power high power DC fast charging stations that are a split system, sort of load managed. And they're really cool looking. Like, I was just like, wow, this is awesome. They look great. They rip every time. And I've used them like up in the Arctic Circle in harsh conditions. And like, they work every time. And that is the most important thing to EV drivers. So first of all, you know, of course, our main business at Out of Spec is reviewing cars. But we also love to review charging, and we love to get more into the charging space. And doing a partnership with Kim Power makes 100% sense to me, because they're building the coolest, fastest, best looking, and most reliable charging hardware on the planet. And we've been working with Kim Power and the Finnish teams for a long time, but now we're working with Kim Power America, which is super exciting. We're going to talk about the expansion from Europe into our market with localized manufacturing, a headquarters in North Carolina, and a few other things that's bringing them from overseas. I would say expanding from overseas here to the US. So super exciting from my side.
I love how Kyle can say that one of the best and most fun parts about driving an electric vehicle is charging it, because that is really the nerdy part of things. But, you know, Kyle paints a good picture of why we would like to partner with you, and I'd love to hear it from you as well. So there are plenty of DC fast charging manufacturers out there, and many have an all-in-one system and a split system, many of which have great reliability, some of which have terrible reliability. And there's also differing price points and differing features as well. Why does KimPower believe that you should install a KimPower DC charger? What are the high-level benefits of working with KimPower? Maybe Imani.
Yeah, I think KimPower really distinguishes itself as a premier provider through its innovative technology, reliability, and our commitment to the customer relationship. One great example of this is adaptive voltage dynamic power sharing, which I'm sure we'll get into down the line. But our solutions really feature advanced power electronics, robust designs, flexible modularity, and user-friendly interfaces that make for a really cool and great product that just is reliable, which kind of hits all the three dings that I like in my chargers.
Reliability is key. And I think that's interesting that Kyle said so too, that everyone that he's hit, even in the really cold temperatures, has worked. And that is quite the status quo to meet in 2024. It works. Kyle, I'll go ahead with this question, but Kyle can add some color too, but we've worked with a lot of charging manufacturers that have different teams. And as Kyle mentioned, this starts in Finland and now it's coming over to North America. And the people behind the work is really important because it determines what direction the company is going to go, not only strategy, but how they're going to move with the changing industry and the technology and also the feedback of the users of the charging network. So when it comes to the core of the company, that's people, right? And with a new company coming from Finland, I'd love to know a little bit more about how that transition is going. Is it the Finnish team coming over? Is it just mostly, you know, folks from North America? Is it all in North Carolina? Are they completely separate companies? Can you tell me a little bit more about that and the culture within?
Yeah, I can take that because I'm originally from Finland, as you might hear from my accent. But yeah. The plan is, of course, to build completely local team. We have now currently 5 expats here in Durham area, North Carolina, and 2 actually Finnish people with local agreements. So we have 7 Finnish people here. In total, we have more than 100 people already in US for KimPower Inc. So that's kind of the spread of Finnish people and North American people. But of course, we have visitors from Finland to make sure everything starts well and support people in here. So that's kind of, and also bring the culture, because we see that the working culture in Finland is a little bit different than typical working culture in US. So that's also something that is really valuable for us to bring that from Finland.
I would guess that you would take the lessons learned from all of your, you know, prolific work in other countries and bring them over here, but also have to adapt to a pretty different industry when it comes to, I mean, all the differences from standards to cultures within the company and how it's all going to work as you expand into the new market.
But Marcus, maybe you can expand a little bit on just explaining to us. So you have your headquarters in Durham, but will there also be a manufacturing facility there? What is that looking like? Is that even in progress yet? Where are we at?
We have manufacturing here in Durham. So at the end of last year, we shipped the first customer order from Durham factory. So charger made in US, basically. And that was actually shipped to Canada. And that's the first shipment we made from North America. We will have basically everything here, starting from finance to engineering and everything in between. There is production, there is sales support, service. Everything will be kind of copy pasted from Finland to here. That's the plan.
Cool.
And yeah, done it already, pretty much.
From a leadership perspective, does the Finnish team oversee the US team, or is the US team sort of separate, running a different business?
We have a local leader here, Tim Joyce, and he is part of the management team of KimPower OIJ, which is the mother company of KimPower Inc. So we are heavily kind of connected to the management team. For example, Jed has frequent connections to Jussi Vanhanen, who is our CMO, and I have frequent connections to our COO, Sanna Otava, and so on. So we have really well-established connections directly to Finland, to headquarters.
Yeah, makes sense. So that seems like a pretty good plan. I mean, it works in Europe. And so take some lessons learned, adapt it here. Let's see how well it goes. You know, on the hardware side, the chargers work really well in Europe. And one thing we've seen is that in general, charging in Europe is a lot better than the US. I'm specifically talking non-Tesla public charging. And is there a particular, you know, from a Kempower's perspective, we do have a couple public Kempower installations in the US. And the first ones that went in were in sort of that northern strip. It was like southern Canada, Michigan, Minnesota had the first ones. But we also get some pretty harsh weather on the other side of the equation. In hot weather, we have extreme winds, we have a different electrical grid. What adaptations did you have to make for the US versions of the chargers? Because they work great in Europe and they seem to be working great here so far, but there's only a few. What had to change for the US version?
I'll take that one.
It's a different grid, so your voltages are different. And it's a different set of certifications, so ETL certification or UL certification here. And then you get a lot of localized specifications. So certainly there's been work and there's ongoing work to make sure we meet all those. But our kind of base level system really is pretty adaptable to all that. And just, I guess, the setup of, you know, having multiple redundant power modules and the adaptive voltage that Imani was, really, it sets you up nicely for multiple applications. So certainly, if you're talking about charging cars as a CPO, you get all those advantages of, you know, knowing what charge the individual car make can take and adapting to that and maximizing, you know, your resources there. It works really well for that. But then, you know, my background, I actually work for a school bus manufacturer. It's a really nice solution for that too, because you can take, you know, a lower voltage cabinet and or low kilowatt hour cabinet and take that over multiple buses and really spread that out almost like you would use for a wall box charger. Again, those little 25 kilowatt chargers. But then when you need full power, if you had a 200 kilowatt cabinet, you can use all 200 kilowatts to fill up for a trip. And that would be applicable to somebody, you know, that was doing pickup and delivery or some kind of, you know, van fleet or somebody like that. So I think the same system works really well throughout multiple applications that are really applicable to the North American market.
And I know you focus on scalability and adaptability, which is kind of what you were talking about here. And of course, as you move into a new space, you're thinking about that and the optimization of the network and the hardware that you're using. Can you speak a little bit more about how the design of your actual fast chargers help to be able to either adapt or better manage and better provide reliable charging for people in North America?
Hey, Marcus, you want to take kind of what you've seen in Europe on that, and then I'll follow up with anything on our side too.
Yeah, I would say in practice, it's pretty much the same than in Europe. Europe is also like Spain is really hot area, and we have a lot of chargers there. And what is like differentiating us in Europe as well is that we have really modular system. It's like you can start with 50 kilowatt and then later add power to the unit to up to 600 kilowatts. And the same thing you can do with the charging cables. You can start with one and then you can add it up to eight cables. So that's really a good way for everybody to, in what phase they are with the EV adoption, to start, for example, with 50 kilowatts and one charging cable. That's good to start with lower investment and then see how it goes. But everything like reliability part, for example, we are doing everything here as we have done in Europe, or mainly, let's say, put it that way. The hardware, of course, is the same. We have global hardware. Then the software, which supports hardware, that's completely the same. That's the global. And it actually has pretty big impact to the uptime of the charger, to have really good software so that you can do things remotely. Then on top of that, which is not that often mentioned, is actually how you make the installation and how you maintain the products. You have to have good partners for those. And we have already built that kind of partner network here in North America, and we continue building that. And that's, for example, one partner just announced that the uptime with Kempower chargers was 99.99. So we still have room for improvement, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty damn good, I would say. That's what we like to hear. That's why we like Kempower. It just works pretty well. But wasn't it last week, something like that, you guys just announced that you're going to go silicon carbide on the rectifiers? So, Jed, I know you're our resident super nerd. Maybe you could tell us, like, what the heck, you know, what are the differences in switching, you know, conversion technologies? Why silicon carbide? Is it an entirely new system that we then need to reprove out reliability? Does it take some stuff from the old system? Tell me about the switch.
Yeah, so it's in our power module. We're calling that the V2 power module. I'm not a material scientist, so I can't tell you, you know, at the molecular level why silicon carbide is better, but it does three or four different things for us. And it's something you're starting to see, you know, all through the EV space, not just charging manufacturers, but multiple different, you know, companies are using silicon carbide technology. We've got some local companies here that are really on the cutting edge of that. So for our chargers, it does a few things. It certainly increases power factor and efficiency. So the power coming in, you're getting more of that power going out. So if you're, if you're investing in the system, you're going to get more out of your investment. It does a better job with THD. So there's going to be less problem with any kind of harmonic issues that you might have in a charging field. And then it also does a better job with extreme temperatures on both sides. So we'll actually test the higher temperatures than we did before. So it will be a new power module. We're super stoked about it. I think it's going to help us in multiple ways. Now, as far as the modularity you talked about, we're not selling new cabinets with new footprints, with new power module, you know, dimensions. So if you 2 years from now had a current power module fail and you bought a spare part, the spare part you bought would be the new power module that would fit in the same footprint. And if
So the new power module will work with the old power modules in the same system?
It absolutely will. And like if you were to Marcus's point earlier, and something we're seeing a lot is, you know, a guy that might have planned on a truck fleet of 10, just to use a random number, they may not right now have the ability to charge 10 because of grid connection problems. So, but they might say, you know, I only want to dig trenches once. So I'm going to plan for 10. I might only going to buy 100 kilowatts worth of power right now because I've only got one or two trucks, but I'm going to buy three cabinets. I'm going to have room for 600 kilowatts. You know, if in 2 years they want to do that, the grid connection's there, the trucks come, you're going to plug in, you know, 10 more of our power modules, they've been the new power module, and off you go. So I think it's going to be a really nice solution that way.
Interesting. Yeah, so I was, you know, learning about this material, silicon carbide, and how it's more efficient, and I'm sure there's plenty of reasons that you would choose this, but can you speak a little bit to that, to where the efficiency in the charging is enhanced along the way by using this material?
Well, I don't know.
Even though you're not a scientist.
Yeah, I'm not. And we've got a guy that might can answer that better than me another time. I don't know that the actual charging as a you know, driver. We think we might can get a little more power out of it and have more continuous charging at a higher level. So I'd say that's where, from the driver experience, your charging would be enhanced.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, and I mean, I think it's obviously how these new technologies that you're putting in.
And that's probably more of a fleet application. So just long term charging would be when I talk about more continuous power. The typical automotive charge, that doesn't matter. You're not on it that long. Yeah.
Right. Understood. And, you know, of course you want to provide good charging. And as you're going, you wouldn't extend into the North American market, I'm sure, unless you thought, okay, this is a great market to extend into. We have the demand here, of course, for charging that works all the time. I mean, there it's there. So what is it looking like with getting these sales out there? What's your timeline to getting your footprint in North America up and running? Can you speak to that?
Should I take that?
I think you take that one, Marcus.
Yeah, the plan is to be like 2030, we see that the markets in North America and Europe are about in the same level. But let's say that already within 2 to 3 years, we should be manufacturing-wise on the same level than what we are in Europe. We haven't kind of announced anything specific concerning that, because we want to keep us our manufacturing global, more or less. And that's also what comes with the modularity. If we make modules here and we have a shortage in Europe, we can send those modules to Europe because they work with the equipment in Europe. So that's kind of how we see it. And then depending, of course, the demand, that how the sales starts and how customers start to use our chargers, that's our ramp up here is depending a lot on that.
Mm-hmm. So a bit of launching and then seeing how everything reacts, how the market reacts, and then going from there. Totally understandable. And of course, EV charging, we love to get into the details, the nerdy details of how we're going to have the best, most optimized charging when it comes to power and charging curves and everything. But also at the big picture, this is an effort for a lot of people to be sustainable and to think about the environment and the future in that way. And I know that this is a pillar of Kempower as well. Can you speak to how and why perhaps you're prioritizing sustainability and environmental responsibility in your DC fast charging initiatives at Kempower?
Yeah, I can take this one. Our four company values are together, impact, integrity, and courage. And our passion is really creating customers or helping customers move towards an emission-free future. So sustainability is at the core of our business and we live and breathe it. Kempower's strategy really is to go carbon neutral by 2035 at the company in accordance with the Paris Agreement. I don't know exactly all the details on that, but I think it's really a valuable, prospect that I actually personally work at a company that lives and breathes its values and really trying to be a part of the green transformation.
Definitely cool. Important. I think
time will tell. I actually think like there needs to be a lot more just in general tracking of carbon emissions and life cycle of products and nerd out about all of these things. And, you know, really let's just see what we're actually doing. Cause I think a lot of it can sound good. A lot of it in practice, maybe not so much. I think Kempower, certainly out of all the companies I've been with, does have a huge focus on sustainability, especially working from the Finnish side. I think it's also just a bit more a part of Finnish culture than American culture, and especially exactly. North Carolinian culture. So it'd be cool to see how the U.S. colleagues handle the sustainability mindset joining. But I think that'll be kind of fun and interesting. We are getting close to time. So I just have one last question, which has to do with, okay, you're new in the US. You have an amazing service network, sales network, and everything already in Europe. Let's say I'm here in Colorado. I want to buy some Kempower chargers. What tools, what services do you have to offer? Because you're going up against DC charging manufacturers and CPOs and other competitors that have an insane built-out service installation sales network across the country. So obviously this will ramp with time, but maybe Marcus, you can speak to this. What the heck? What do you have to offer someone wanting to install the chargers today?
All the customers or potential customers and potential customers we have discussed with, they are really amazed by our product because they haven't heard similar product necessarily before. They haven't been to Europe to see Kempower chargers. So it already comes as a new thing for them. And then, of course, it takes time because now currently the, let's say, design of all the charging fields, they are based on standalone chargers. So when they find out that, okay, there's this kind of more dynamic version available, then they start to design it with that. So it comes definitely with time, but anyway, because we also have standalone chargers, people can start with that. So I see that that helps us to come to the market faster than if we would only have this dynamic power sharing version, which is with the power unit and the satellites.
But on the sales team, like, who do they call? Do they just call up Kempower, or how does that work?
Typically, some of the customers, they reach out directly to us. And then based on customers' ability, we direct them typically to the partners. Because if customer says that I want the charging field, no matter how big the customer is, the first question basically from us is that, can you install it and can you maintain it? If they can't, then we typically say that, please go with our partner, and these are the options, because then you will get much better customer experience. I think the only ones who have this installation and maintenance are CPOs at the moment, because they are the most mature in the market. But other than that, it's typically the way how it goes. Then our partners will be connected to those potential customers.
And those partners, you're building up, you know, different regional partners. Like, there's some here in Colorado, as an example, that you would call them. They can retail sell the Kempower units. They can facilitate with a, you know, installer perhaps to come and install those chargers. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, that's how it works. Yeah. And we train them, all our partners here in Durham already. So they get the certificate to install our chargers. And in some cases, also our service person goes to the first installation site to support that everything goes as it should go.
I'm looking forward to watching Kempower grow in North America. I mean, Kyle has spoken really highly of his experiences abroad charging with your infrastructure. And to think that it's just out of reach, just coming to North America is really exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing your sites go live. And I think you have a lot to offer. And I think that our audience will take a lot from this series. And I appreciate you all coming on. You know, we're going to speak more to more members of your team, talking about reliability, what kind of experience you're providing, all the way to in-depth conversations around your product line and scalability specifically, and then green technology and climate and regulation as well. Because as we know, this is a very dynamic space to be working in, and you're also entering a new market too. So there's a lot of, you know, adapting to do, but then also future-proofing. So really, really appreciate you all's time in giving our audience an overview of Kempower, who you are, what you're doing, and also what we're going to be diving into the future. So thank you for coming onto the podcast today and sharing that with us and everyone. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kyle. It was nice meeting you again.
Bye, y'all.
Yeah, good to see you all. Great. Thank you so much.
Of course, an audience, let us know if you have any comments or questions, but stay tuned for more episodes that might answer some of them in the future with our Kempower guests. We will see you next time on the next Out of Spec podcast episode. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.